Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, we give you thanks and we give you praise and honor and glory. We thank you for this day that you have made. We thank you, Lord God, for all that you've done, for your loving kindness and for your tender mercies. We thank you, God, that on this day we have come and you have opened up our church. God, we have taken baby steps. And so we thank you, God, that we are taking these small steps. We know that you're with us by your Holy Spirit. And we pray for your grace and for your mercy, Lord God, that we will do and be obedient, because we know that obedience is better than sacrifice. So, Lord God, bless each and every person here today. Bless them who have come out and those who are watching online. Bless us, Lord God, and let us do what you've called us to do. And be with us here today, Lord God. Continue to bless our state. God, we've seen a good turn in our state, God, and we want it to stay that way. So, God, have mercy upon us. And let the citizens of this state and of the country begin to be mindful of what they need to do and to obey. So, Lord, now speak a word for us, a word of love and a word of hope and a word of obedience, Lord God. Speak to us and take hold of me, the preacher, and put me on to submission to your holy will. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, because you are our refuge and our strength. You are our Savior and our Lord. Amen. Amen. Now, friends, if you see anything on the overhead, now I'm not taking any critique, but I'll take what good comments. I've spent a few hours doing that screen, putting up the PowerPoint. It is an added dimension, and certainly it has taken me a couple hours. I used to do those screens all the time, the PowerPoint, and was retired from that. Nancy, we're never retired. I never know, we may be singing again. We're never retired, right? We're just taking rest. And so I've been putting all those words. So was it readable, everyone? Can you see it? And when we were testing it, Susan, thank you, Susan, who has come to help, and she had marked up. She and I worked on several PowerPoints for our service that we have at December 31st. We tend to do that. This PowerPoint was a little bit more... it's fuller because I wanted to put the entire liturgy of the sacrament on it. So we're up to 51 slides. The other ones will be much shorter. But it took a few hours, but I'm glad you could read it, and I'm hoping at the very end. Celeste, you could see it back there, can you? Yeah, marvelous. We're just trying to check the distance. So here we are now, and those online, you have your material with you, and one of these days when we have a double cameras, we're planning to get that, we'll be able to show the screen and also show those who are speaking. So we'll have a double camera, but you have the material. So let us now hear what thus saith the Lord. My sermon title today is, What is Your Yield? What is your yield, right? And the writer says, I have a reflection called Trees Roots. Trees, roots. And this writer says, science writer Hope Jarin shares an interesting fact about plants, especially how a tiny seed starts to put down roots, the most essential thing for a plant's survival. She writes, no risk is more terrifying than that taken by the first root. A lucky root will eventually find water, but its first job is to anchor. Once the first root is extended, the plant will never again enjoy any hope of relocating to a place less cold, less dry, less dangerous. So once that first root takes anchor, nothing can stop it. It will not relocate. Indeed, it will face frost, drought, and greedy joys without any possibility of flight. She calls taking root a big gamble. But if the seed takes root, It can go down 12, 30, 40 meters. The results are powerful when a seed takes root. The tree's roots can swell and split bedrock and move gallons of water daily for years, much more efficiently than any pump yet invented by man. If the root takes root, then the plant becomes all but indestructible. That means when that root takes root, that seed is planted, the root takes root, that plant becomes indestructible. Tear apart everything above ground. Everything and most plants can still grow. And most plants can still grow rebelliously back from just one intact root, more than once, more than twice. So the writer is saying the root, when the seed takes root and it takes and it anchors properly, nothing can stop it from holding on. And so my sermon title is what is our yield? Because Jesus is going to say, ask the question, make the statement. A yield is said to give forth or produce by a natural process or in return, like in cultivation, right? It's a yield. It will produce. The farmer yields enough fruit to meet all his or her needs. It is now producing. Yield is to give a return as for labor expended, produce bear. And we see in the Bible in Genesis, God says, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after its own kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. We also see in Scripture, I will send you rain in its season, and the ground will yield its crop, and the trees their fruit. The Lord will indeed give what is good, and our hand will yield its harvest. So the idea of seed planting and yielding and growth is very important to the biblical narrative. Very important to the Word of God. Very important to us, right? So now with Jesus is having a difficult time here, right? The Pharisees and the Sadducees are following him. They're not listening. They're arguing with him. And if you read the earlier chapters of Matthew 12 and 10 and 11, John the Baptist, one of his chief disciples, was killed. He was beheaded for spreading the gospel. So Jesus is coming up against these hard-hearted, hard-headed folks all the time. And so he gives a parable. The parable is the sower, the seed, and the soil. The sower, the seed, and the soil. So the Bible tells us that Jesus teaches from the boat, right? But even though he's on water, his teaching is about earthly things. It's about earthy things. It's about seed and planting. The parable of the sower is unusual in that Jesus offers an image, an allegory, right, interpretation of his disciples. The disciples, the ones who are following, and he's teaching them. He wants to let them understand that he knows that there are different kinds of soil. And we got to ask ourselves the question today, what kind of soil are we? What kind of soil are each and every one of us? And I'll have a point I'll make later on to that point. Now, hear the words of Jesus. He says, the same day Jesus went out of the house and he sat beside the lake. Such great crowds gathered around him because they wanted to hear what Jesus was saying. And he sat in the boat and he began to tell them. And he said, listen, a sower went out to sow. And some of the seeds, as the sower is planting the seed, some of them fell on the path, and the birds came and took them away, eat them. All right? And that will happen when we are spreading the gospel, you know, you will spread it in places that folks will do nothing about it. He says, other seeds now fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth or soil. Rocky soil, hard soil, right? And had no depth, and they died. They sprang up quickly, but nothing to hold on to. Then other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns what? Choked the seeds off. They grew up and they choked them. And then other seeds fell on good soil. And they brought forth one of my favorite things when I'm praying for offering. I always say 30, 60, 100 fold. Jesus says 100, he starts with the highest fold, the highest yield, 100 fold, and there's some 60 and 30. And I've always asked the Lord, multiply what you've given us, 30, 60, and 100 fold. Are we yield, Lord God? A key question is, who qualifies as good soil? Which one of us qualifies as good soil? And how do we know if our soil is good or not? Because Jesus' parable is an allegory. It's a metaphor, right? He's really talking about human beings. He's talking about the gospel. Spreading the gospel means planting seed. So how do we know if we're a good soil, right? Because soil cannot change itself. We can't change ourselves. If I have rocky soil, I can't change myself. The only hope in changing us is through Jesus Christ. So the question may be asked, are these then destined to be unproductive forever? Are these soils then destined to be unproductive? And so we would hope not. Because if truth be told, friends, all of us have had that some or other of that kind of soil in our life. All of us. There are times when things happen to us that we don't expect, and we can't believe what's going on. And we don't receive the prayer that we may get. We don't receive the word of God that we hear at that moment. And that means our soil becomes what? A little bit rocky. And it's okay. That's why Jesus is giving this parable. And he goes on, he says, listen, a sower went out to sow, and when it fell, this is what happened. And so he begins to try to make his point to them, to let them understand that the sowing of the seed is left up to the Lord or to the disciples. And the soil that he finds, right, he is going to do everything he can to penetrate that soil. Thanks be to God that Jesus does not give up on us with the kind of soil. He said, there are people who want to tell me that they have been full of the Holy Spirit forever, and when they found Jesus, they have never not believed. It is not true. The devil is a liar. It is not true that they found you. I was brought up in the church. I came out of my mother's womb a Christian, if that's ever possible. Right? And yet still, I have had my moments. For 60-something years, I've been a Christian. Right? And I'm really 25. But here's the deal. I have had my moments. I've had my moments of doubt. I have my moments of when I see things terrible, it may be quick and short moments, but I've said, Lord, why does this happen? Lord, I've been believing this forever. Why? Does that mean that my soil is no good? No. It means within that soil that has received Jesus Christ, within my heart that has received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, there are moments of apprehension and moments of questioning. And the Lord knows it. Doesn't mean that my soil leaves from good to bad. But who made my soil good? Who made your soil good? Not us. It's the Holy Spirit of God that made your soil good. That Holy Spirit that worked in you and works in me. That Holy Spirit of God that what? Speaks to your heart and let's say, yes, come to church. Yes, believe Jesus. Making is as if the Holy Spirit is what? It is what? nurturing our soils. It is like when a gardener goes out and they put manure and all of that and they water the soil and they nurture the soil. The Holy Spirit of God is nurturing that soil. Nurturing your soil and my soil. Not because we are good, but because God is good and Jesus is faithful. And so Jesus continues on this parable and he wanted them to know that, and he's telling the Pharisees that he's not going to give up on these soils. Jesus never gives up on any soil because there's always hope for that soil. Always hope. You see, the key is Jesus' investment in his disciples shows that he simply will not give up on them. In spite of their many failings, Jesus will not give up on us. And if your soil is feeling a little hard and rocky today, and you call out to the name of Jesus, he will come and make you pliable, right, in the hands of God. Number two, we trust that Jesus will not give up on us either, but will keep working on whatever is hardened, rocky, or thorny within and among us. That Jesus will. Doubt has come. Many folks have lost their loved ones to coronavirus. Praying Christian people have lost their loved ones. Let no one believe it's just them and their family. Lots of people, pastors in churches, believers all their life who have gone home to be with the Lord, and their members of their family. I spoke to a family the other day who said, why would God do it? Why would this God that I believe in do it? That soil needs help, but the Lord is there. Who passed on, right? Serving the Lord all their life, in nursing homes and hospitals, bringing doubt sometimes into our life. Some folks says, I don't want to talk about church and God anymore. I don't want to talk about God because I prayed to God and this did not happen. I prayed to God and this did not change. Yet still God does not give up on them. God does not give up on us. Continues to work on our soils. And that's what this parable is telling us. And so therefore, we can increase our yield. How do we increase our yield? When we're going through difficulty, how do we increase our yield? We increase our yield by what? Get on our knees in prayer before God. We get on our knees before God. We begin to seek God and to pray to God. So we get on our knees before him. We begin to study his word, read his word, begin to get hope from his word. And then sooner or later, this heart of ours, this soil of ours begins to what? To change and to open up because of the power of Jesus Christ and the love and that he loves us. And so today, friends, as we look at this, we want to increase our yield. We as Christian believers must increase our yield. We must trust in the promise that God will be with us even to the end of the ages. We must trust that no matter how bad our situation looks, God will work it out for our good. For as Paul told the church at Rome, there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus our Lord. No condemnation. Whether your soil is hard or rocky, no condemnation. The Lord will come. For he says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and death. So no matter what we're feeling today, no matter how down we may be feeling, things may not look the way we want it to look. You know, we have, I want to share one quick thing with you. Because we just don't know how God works at times. At the beginning of the coronavirus, I don't try to talk much about, except for my prayer team. I don't like burdening people with my own problem. Everybody has problem, and I'm kind of particular about that. I don't need... But at the beginning of the coronavirus problem situation, it still continues. It was on Palm Sunday. And we had just finished service because we had not known. I guess we had not known then. We might have. I don't remember. And I got a call from my sister, and I thought, she doesn't call on a Sunday because she's in church too. And she called and she said, my cousin Donovan. Now, Donovan is like a brother. My mother raised him. He grew up in my mother's house because his mother had some challenges. And she said, your cousin, they found Donovan in his room, and he was out, foaming from the mouth. And they called 911 because he lived alone. They rushed him to the hospital. He had coronavirus. His blood sugar had reached 1,000 because he was diabetic. And it was touch and go for several weeks. We prayed and prayed. He's in his early 60s. Now, I say this to say that, because it's happened to many people. And I'm going to tell my story. Here is what happened. Donovan was not a church-going person. Donovan did not really, couldn't get him to attend church, be in church, follow Jesus. Not a bad person, but not a Christian, not really practicing. I've talked to him many times, and he'll just say, okay, I'm just living my life, you know, and God is there. But so, not a follower. But yet, God chose to save him then. His soil is a little bit rocky, but God chose to save him. So I said to Donovan, now that he's better, finally he's fully better and going back to work. I says, you need to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You need to follow them. And then on the other hand, I know a beloved Baptist pastor who has served the Lord, who have preached his word, stood in his pulpit and preached, took care of his community, and had coronavirus, and the Lord took him home. So God will do what God will do. And God will save sometimes the rockiest soil. And sometimes the soil that is ready, God will take them home. Do you know why? Because their soil was already ready. We don't know the hands of God. We don't know the mind of God. We don't know why God would do what God does. But God is faithful and God is merciful. And even when our soils have gotten stony and rocky and pebbles are in it and doubt comes up, this merciful God is there and will hear and will answer our prayers and will bring us to him. And so that's the hope for all of us today. And so we want to give God thanks and praise for all God has done and for what God continues to do in our lives. So whatever soil you have today, just give it to God. And some of us who think our soils are so perfect, it's not true. We need to go to God in prayer also. Amen.
Amen.